Corinthians 15.
What do I do with it? Where'd I put it? Where'd I put the mic?
Anybody see it?
Good night.
It's been for me. I lay something down, don't remember where I put it. How many of y'all have that problem?
Yeah.
All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Lord have mercy. He does. 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll start at about verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Brother Squiggy preaches a lot of funerals. I preach a lot of funerals, and we go to this chapter here a lot. And I thank God this chapter's in the Bible. I thank God it's there. Because it gives you hope of knowing that Bible is true and salvation is real. And so if you got your Bible, 1 Corinthians 51 or 15:51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now, if you know this, there's seven mysteries in the Bible. He says, "Behold, I'll show you a mystery." This is one of them. And this is a mystery of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One day, the Bible says the Lord's going to come back with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And a pastor is supposed to be good stewards of the mysteries that God's given in the Bible. Everybody likes a mystery, but these mysteries are very important in the Bible. And this, he said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." I thank God for that, that we're all not going to die. We're all not going to die. If the Lord comes back, you're sitting here tonight or today, you'll never die. Never die. There's been some men in the Bible like Enoch. He never died. Elijah never died, but Elijah's coming back to die. Elijah's going to come back to die. There's some people in the Bible that never died. But here the Lord gives us an example of when he returns that if he comes back today, which he could, if he came back today, we would never die. We would never see death. Because the Bible says death has a sting to it. And look what the Bible says. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." It says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." And that's not Donald Trump. Amen. And I had a guy call me up. When Donald Trump got elected, he says, "Is that could be the Lord coming back? He's the last Trump." I said, "There hadn't even been a first Trump yet." Or he is the first Trump, put it that way. And it says, "For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." How many of y'all wake up with aches and pains in the morning? You wake up with aches and pains. How many of y'all under 30 years old and you got aches and pains? 30 years old. There you go, man. Pam got her hand up. She's older than 30 years old. But, man, you wake up. I got a burr in one of my heels, man. I get up, and I go, "Oh, man, it hits you." You know, as you get older, I mean, things start falling apart. And, I mean, you just start, you know, getting aches and pains. And people move to Florida thinking that, you know, which would be, you know, the heat and all that stuff would be better. But they still wake up aches and pains and all that stuff. But the Bible says we shall be changed in a moment. And this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, verse 54, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I mean, death is swallowed up in victory. It's going to be a great victory for the rapture to take place. That's going to be a victory, man. Yeah, I don't know if you have any victories in your life. You ought to. If you're saved, you ought to have some victories in your life. You ought to have victory over sin, over some things that you used to fight before you got saved. I mean, I had a drinking problem, and I had a drug problem, and I had all these other problems, and I got victory over that stuff. And that's a great victory, man, when you can say, and I got victory over my mouth. And, I mean, some of y'all are still fighting that. You got victory over your mouth. Now, I'll never forget, man, after I got saved, the first time I said God blank or used God's name in vain, it bothered me. And the Holy Ghost of God will bother you if you're saved when you start saying bad words. And I went down to Bible school, and I was witnessing these guys. They were all lieutenants in the Air Force. And they were all standing, they all ended up getting saved. It was like three or four of them, and I'm witnessing to them. And they got saved after I witnessed to him. I went to school, and there was a guy I went to school with. He was a commander, or he was a captain in the Marine Corps. And this guy was a pilot. He was a captain. And I'm trying to think of his name right now. But he was a good friend, and we went out. And him and I went on visitation, went to see these, they were Marines, not Air Force guys. They were Marines. But I was witnessing in front of them, and I was standing there, and I couldn't believe it came out of my mouth. I said, and, you know, the schools are teaching all that, shoot. But I said the other word. And I said, shoot. And I went, and it didn't even faze those guys. And I, the Holy Ghost of God inside me, as soon as I said the word, I went, oh. And I went, I couldn't believe I said it. I went, and then I tried to make up for it, and I went, shoot, shoot, shoot. And they were like, okay, go on, go on. But I was trying to keep them, I was trying to keep my mouth in right, make them think that I didn't say the other word, you know, the S-H, you know, or so on. I didn't want to say, and I said, they're teaching all that, and like that. And then it didn't faze them. So we went back, me and that captain on visitation, and, man, we led those guys to the Lord. They were all Marines, and they were lieutenants. And I took the captain with me, and that captain, we all sat there, and three or four of them got saved. And him, me and that captain, he had a Volkswagen. No, he had a van. It was a Corvair van. How many of y'all remember Corvair van? They were funny looking. But he had a Corvair van, and we both got in that car, in that van, and we were riding down the road. We were shouting and crying and rejoicing, and we pulled up the red light there on 9 Mile Road. And when we pulled up that red light, we both jumped out, and we ran around all the cars. So we just ran around the car shouting at the red light. And we got back in, tears running down the face. We went to school that night. We got into school, and we started rejoicing in the school. And Dr. Rummins, it was a commotion in the back. We were all shouting and everything. And Doc said this. He said, what's going on in the back? And I stood up. I said, we just led a couple of Marines to the Lord. He goes, amen, that's something to be excited about. And amen, we ought to be excited about somebody getting saved, somebody going to go to heaven when they die. Amen. I know my brother Matthew's mom was saved. And young man, I heard your mother or somebody, a cousin, is your mama that just passed away? And was she saved? Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. How old was she? How old was your mama? How old? 41 years old. Good Lord, brother, have mercy. Lord, pray for them. Pray, Lord, help them boys. But their mama's with the Lord, amen? It says, for when this corruptible have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, it shall be brought to pass. The saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The reason why we die is because of sin coming in this world. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And man, he's talking about the victory that comes being saved and going to heaven and being able to overcome things in our lives. But I want to get to this verse right here. He says in verse 58, therefore, man, I like that word. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, he says, be ye steadfast. I mean, in light of what we just read, he said, therefore, after what we read about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and about the dead in Christ arise first over in 1 Thessalonians, about, man, the rapture taking place. I mean, man, about the resurrection body, this mortal shall put on immortality. I mean, we're going to have a body like Jesus Christ one day. What a blessing. He says, therefore, be ye steadfast. I mean, stand fast, man. I mean, stand fast. When a military, they tell you, stand fast. Don't move. Just stay fast. Stay right there. Don't lose your position. I mean, stand fast. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Not in vain. What we're doing right now is not in vain, brother. And what we've been doing for the past years and 30 years here, pastoring the church, it has not been in vain. The Bible says, therefore, be ye, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Father, I pray, God, help us to preach this morning. I pray, give him power. I pray, watch over my lips of clay. God, remove me out of the way. Help me, God, to be a help to my brothers and sisters. I pray for the kids in the junior church. I pray also for the teenagers over there with Brother Michael Shane as they have Teen Sunday. I pray, stir our hearts all over the property, Lord, stir us up to love you more and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, you got today, got Christians, man, moving away from the Lord and growing cold, lukewarm. The Bible says in the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3, it says the Lord Jesus Christ is outside knocking on the door. I mean, we always say that's your heart, but he's talking to the church. He's knocking on the door, and everybody inside is asleep. Everybody's not, they're not opening the door to him, and they just ignore the door, amen. They're ignoring the Holy Ghost of God, dealing with their hearts. And man, God's trying to get in. He wants to use you, and he says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I've had people tell me, I used to serve God. I used to do this. I used to do that. I mean, I don't want to hear about that. I want to know what you're doing now. What are you doing now? I mean, are you steadfast? I had a guy call me this week, dropped a bomb on me, man. I haven't seen the guy in 20 years. Got called to preach here. He got called to here, had 10 kids, and man, him and his wife going through a divorce now, and they got all the kids taken away from him. I can't believe it, man. I just cannot believe it. When I was growing up in the gangs and stuff, his daddy was trying to kill me one night. I was at a party, and three guys jumped on me. I was 15 years old, and I didn't know they were doing this. They were initiating me. His father always like to turn the stove on. He had my head trying to stick it down into the fire, and I was fighting for my life. And these guys are just initiating me. Man, this boy got saved and got called to preach here, and man, been out preaching and stuff. And then all this happened. He threw a load. And the Bible tells us, I said, are you still serving God? He said, I'm trying, brother. I said, don't you give up. Don't you give up no matter what. Don't you give up. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I mean, we're supposed to be today, Christians are supposed to be growing, and supposed to be growing closer to God. But what's happening is they're getting lukewarm. They're growing further away from God. And it shouldn't be that way. I mean, we're getting down to the end, man. We're getting down to the near of Jesus Christ coming back. I mean, because the Bible talks about the rapture right before that. And he's telling about the man, when one day our body's going to be changed, and we're going to fashion like on his glorious body, and we're going to have a brand new home. We're going to have a brand new life, a brand new everything. And he says, stand fast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What's happened is Christians got cold, and they said, well, they blame this person, and they'll blame that person, and they'll say, they made me do it, or they talked about me, or they said something. Who cares, man? Stand fast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I mean, just stand fast. Don't turn tail and run. I mean, brother, sisters, I tell you what, we need you more now than ever before. We need you to serve God. I mean, man, we got Christians backing up, growing cold, and man, lukewarm. I mean, we don't need to be new lukewarm now. We need to be on fire for God. I mean, we're getting down near the end, man. We need to be on fire. We got people out, Christians out dancing, drinking, partying, smoking dope, fornicating, and all everything like the world, just being like the world. I mean, did you run into them? They're saved. There was a guy that was a state trooper that we ordained here in the pulpit. This guy left his wife, his son, his father was his hero, and that guy is not even serving God anymore. Man, you said what? Somebody called me up about a funeral that his brother died, and they said, man, he said, preacher, if you were there, Brother Eugene called me. He said, brother, if you were there, they wouldn't have stopped you. They stood up and told him, said, that's enough. Jim got up and said, that's enough. We don't hear no more about the Bible. What a thing. He was ordained here. He said, man, I was called to preach. He used to go with us to camp. What happened? He became movable. He didn't stand fast. He didn't stay fast. He turned his back. He said, is there a possibility he might get back? Yeah, I always pray that. I always pray for people to come back. There's a guy I've been out of church, I went to school with. He hadn't even been serving God in 20-some years. And I called him up. I said, man, we need you. He was at all the guys that graduated from college and Bible school. And they said, man, if you would have voted, he would have been the one that you thought, this guy's going to make it. This guy's going to be something. This guy's going to serve God. And he said, in 20-some years, he said, I haven't even prayed. Bible tells you, in light of what's happening, man, the Lord's going to come back. Stand fast. Yes, sir. Amen. Be unmovable. Amen. Don't let nobody move you out of your place. Right. Don't let nothing move you out of your place. We had a guy come to church here. He's not even in church no more. And I heard about it. Somebody called me up and said, hey, preacher, you ain't going to believe this. He said, Saturday night, he was there without a bar. And I said, I said, how'd you find out? They said, well, he told somebody. He was at a bar with a girl that came to church here. And the girl was at the church, and he was trying to pick up the girl. And he was at this bar, and they were dancing on the dance floor. And they were both dancing on the dance floor. You'd be surprised where Christians end up, backslidden, away from God. I've had people tell me that they go down to that little bar down there by the lake where topless go-go girls go. They're hanging around down there. He said, man, I like going there with a whip and run them out. Amen. But here this guy told me, he said, he was telling this other guy, he said, I was on the dance floor with this girl and we were dancing, and he said it was like 12 o'clock, and she said, well, you know what, I better get home, I got to go to church tomorrow. And they're on the dance floor, he's trying to pick her up to take her home, and he's dancing on the dance floor. They're both saved, they were both in church. And he says, when you go to church, they were dancing, she said, Faith Baptist Church, Pastor Alan Ryman. He said, the guy told the other guy, he said, man, my knees became weak. He said, I just turned around, walked away, and got out of there. And he said, she turned around and left. He never told her that he came here. Isn't that something, man? Unmovable. Steadfast. I mean, Christians turning their back on the Lord. The Lord says, shall I find faith on the earth when I come? And man, you find it's getting harder and harder. But I'm going to tell you something. If you stay close to God, it's not as hard. When you're wavering, messing around, living like the old man, trying to live like the old man, put a fake, be a fake, like I like what Trump says, fake news, trying to be a fake Christian, it gets hard then. I'll tell you what, Christians, man, going back on the Lord, Christians turning their back. Man, there was never a day like this today. Never has been a day. We're living in a dark day right now. But the Bible says we're children of the light. Take your Bible, look at Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Look at Matthew 24. Look here. We're going to look at some scripture this morning. We're children of light. And we're supposed to be walking in the light as Jesus Christ is the light. Go to Matthew chapter 25. Put it that way. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. We're children of light. Now, this is, the Lord's going to come back, and when the Lord comes back, it's not going to be at midnight, like in Matthew 25 here. He's not coming at midnight. It's going to be around the fourth watch of the night. And the Bible talks about midnight, these 10 virgins, they go out. Look at this. Matthew chapter 25, verse 6, it says, or 5. It says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, for ye go out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. We know this is tribulation. We know this is the Jews in the tribulation. And the saved Jews, for all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Now, I realize this is tribulation saints, but here, and go to Matthew 24, look at verse 42. Matthew 24, we're going to look at a bunch of verses on the Lord coming back. Look at Matthew 24, verse 42. Look what the Bible says. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doeth coming. But this know, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I realize that's talking about the second advent, but I'll tell you what, in such hours you think not, the Son of Man is going to come. He's going to show up. Take your Bible, look in Matthew 26. Look in 26. Look what the Bible says. I mean, man, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. When my wife and I got saved, we thought the Lord was going to come in the 1970s. We really did. We thought the Lord's coming back. I thought our kids would never grow up. Here they are, growing up, having kids. And I got a teenage granddaughter now. What a thing. I mean, you say, what is that? It makes me want to pray more. And the Bible tells us, watch. Look at Matthew 26. Look at verse 41. But back up to verse 40. He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And said unto them, Peter, what, would you not watch with me 1 hour? And the Bible talks about 1 hour. He says, the Bible says one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So 1 hour would be how long? It would be somewhere in 100 years, a couple hundred years. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Go to the Bible. Take your Bible. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look here. There's a lot of verses on watching and praying. A lot of verses on staying steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at verse 1. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talking about the Lord coming back. And it's talking to Christians here. He says, but the times and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When Jesus shows up, it's going to be unexpected. There's going to be a time when you least expect him. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing the Lord find you in a place where you shouldn't be, doing what you shouldn't do? I had a guy, I was trying to call this guy this week. I came across my phone. I try to call people when I think about them or I come across their name. The guy's name is Larry Powell. And Larry Powell came down to Bible school and he lived with me and my wife. And old Larry Powell, man, he got moved out, we got his own place, and he started going to Bible school. And Larry Powell, man, got around his old friends, and he started drinking with some guys that he knew, went out to the bar he worked with. He was at a biker bar. And what happened, I heard, they said, did you hear what happened to Larry? I said, no, what happened? He said he got drunk, fell out of his truck, and his foot got caught on the brake pedal. And the foot, he was driving down 9 mile road, running about 50, 55 miles an hour. He's hanging out the door, and his foot caught on the pedal, and the truck veered off and went through a house with him hanging on it. And I went down to the biker bar. I said, where is he at? They said, he's at the biker bar. A missionary called me and told me that. Now, that missionary is not even serving God anymore. And I could tell you his name. And that guy called me up, and I went down to the biker bar. I walked in the bar. It was right down on 9 Mile Road. I walked in there, and you know how it's always dark and smoky and everything. I walked in there, and I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, this is no place no Christian ought to be. And, I mean, God got me out of that stinking mess when I got saved. Amen. I mean, I got saved, man. I didn't want to know part of that mess no more. It ruined my life. It ruined my family. And I went in there, and I'm looking around, and I walked, and I couldn't recognize him. And I mean, I walked to the bar, to every seat, almost starting to fight, and looked in at the guy's face, and the guy, what do you want? I said, I'm looking for somebody. And I walk up and look at him, and this guy, Larry, had taken all the skin off the side of his face and off his shoulder and off his whole side. It scraped him, the road rash, all the way down. And I remember I looked at him, and Larry's sitting there drinking, and as soon as he turned around and saw me, he said, you don't need to be in here. And he started crying. I said, come on, man, I'm coming to get you out. And he said, you don't need to be in here. And I said, come on, Larry, get out. And man, Larry, I said, and he followed me out. He said, I'm not going to leave. I got him in the truck, and I prayed with him, and I talked to him, and I tried to get him out. He says, I'm going to go back in. I said, Larry, I want you to know we love you. My wife and I and our kids love you. We want to see you serving God. And Larry went back in. And then he called me up. He wanted to get right. And I said, okay, come on. You can come back and live with us. He came back and lived with us for a while. And then he went home to Texas for a while. And then I get a call. And they said, Larry got drunk again. Had a girlfriend in the car, a young girl. Had a girl in the car. And he wrecked the truck or car, whatever it was. And he killed the girl. The girl got killed. He was charged, went to jail. He's in Texas now. He's back. I guess he's back down in Waco, Texas. Waco, Wacko's in Waco. And he's back in Waco. And I can't get a hold of him anymore. My Lord, man. I mean, he says, stand fast. Be unmovable. Always bound in the work of the Lord. Always. In light of the rapture. In light of the resurrection. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians. But the time and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfectly the day of the Lord as so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, look at this. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you. There's a lot of Christians going to be overtaken because why? They're children of light, and they choose to go back to darkness. They choose to live in darkness. They choose that. And Paul's writing to Corinthians, he's saying, be steadfast. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then he says, because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What you do for God is not vain, folks. What you do for yourself is just vain. Living for yourself, we got to pay our bills, that's kind of vain. We got to buy clothes, got to buy shoes, got to buy these things that we have need of. That's vain stuff. One day the Lord's going to give us a brand new robe. Man, we ain't got to worry about paying the light bill. We ain't got to worry about the termites and pest control and all the other stinking mess, all the things that goes on in this world. But the Lord came back, and he said to his children, men in Matthew chapter 14, he said, the Bible says he came walking on the water on the fourth night, watching the night. The Lord's about ready to come back. I mean, are you going to stand fast? You're going to be unmovable? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Look what else it says. He says, therefore, he says, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be what? Sober. Not only physically sober, sober-minded. Think right. Get your mind right. Get your head right. People used to say, get your head right, boy. Get your head right. Military, they said, get your head right. Better think right. You better be sober. You better stay sober. Watch and be sober. They that sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, talking to us that are saved, we're of the day. Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet and his hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but have to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as you do, as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and that are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, to esteem them very highly for love's sake and for the work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. I mean, but we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. I believe a lot of Christians are feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, but both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I mean, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he tells you, man, this is what you ought to be doing as a Christian. I mean, man, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, man, the work is important. The work of God is very important. He said, what am I going to be judged for? I'm going to be judged for what I've done for him. At the judgment seat of Christ, when he talks about the resurrection, talks about us standing before the Lord and having a new body, you think it's going to be just like candy? Everything's going to be candy given to you? No. It's going to be what you've done for him. They don't reward a guy, make a hero out of a guy that ran from the battle. They don't give a guy a award for shooting down the enemy and standing for his men and trying to rescue his men. They make movies about guys that are heroes. And you know what? God likes it when somebody stands for him. Doesn't run in the middle of conflict. Doesn't back up. They stand fast, unmovable. David has some mighty men that were like that. I mean, he could count on them. I mean, can God count on you? Can God count on us? I mean, if Faith Baptist Church is a regiment or if it's a company, I mean, can God count on Faith Baptist Church to stand fast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for we know that our labor is not in vain? Can God count on us? I mean, man, he says, be steadfast, unmovable. Steadfast, unmovable saints, have peace with God. Man, there's a peace of God. I mean, even in the middle of the trials that you're going through, like my brother Brent getting up here saying, oh, I knew God was going to take care of me no matter what. When you're walking with God and you're unmovable and you're steadfast, you'll have peace with God that the world can't explain. Says, how in the world can you explain that? You can't. The peace of God is something that the unsaved don't have. They are looking for peace. They're always seeking. The Bible says they shall say peace and safety. Sudden destruction cometh upon them. Man, the world's looking for peace. If you're saved, you ought to have peace of God in your life. If you're saved, you ought to have some peace in life to be able to live for God and see people saved and be fruitful. I mean, I don't have time to preach this whole message this morning, but I'll tell you what, a man that's walking with God, he has peace. Now, look, take your Bible, look in Isaiah chapter 57. Look what the Bible says about peace. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 57. You can take it or leave it, man. You can say, well, he's just preaching. I'm telling you, I believe what I'm preaching.
Amen.
I don't just talk. I believe what I'm preaching. I believe in the peace of God. I want the peace of God in my life. I want my kids to have the peace of God. I want my grandchildren to have the peace of God.
Yeah.
I don't want my grandkids to grow up and say, well, my granddaddy was a preacher, and I'm out doing what I'm and blow my brains out and live like hell. I don't want my grandkids in love like that. Man, it bothers me to know that people, I hear about people killing themselves and they get on drugs and ruin their lives. That bothers me to hear that. I pray, God, please protect my children and my grandchildren. God, protect them. Look at Isaiah 57, verse 20. Look what the Bible says. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. And there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There's no peace. The wicked has no peace. And you're living wickedly, you ain't going to have no peace. You're walking with God, you got peace. The Bible says that, we have peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 says we have peace with God through his blood. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we're justified by the peace of God that justifies us. Man, what a thing. steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You say, well, I've been through a lot of things in my life since I've been saved. Yeah, but I tell you what, if you're walking with God, you'll still have peace. Amen. You'll be able to trust him.
Yeah.
You know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. A lot of Christians are running around like chickens with their head cut off because they ain't got no peace. They're trying to find peace. And the peace is right there, man. It's right in front, right in the book. We're talking about the book being covered with blood this morning in Sunday school. The book has been covered with blood. I mean, we have the blood of Jesus Christ washed away our sins. We have peace with God. We're justified. What a blessing. Steadfast, unmovable. We have fellowship with Jesus Christ. The Bible, take your Bible, look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to see these verses. Man, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. He tells us that just after he talks about the resurrection. And he says, it's going to happen one day. It's going to happen. The Lord's coming back. A lot of my friends are already gone. A lot of my friends is dying off. I remember Dr. Ruppman said to me one time, he was 90-some years old. And he was sitting at Bob Joseph's church over there, and Doc was preaching there. I've sat in the back. He came back and sat down, and he says, you know, all my friends are gone. I said, what do I look like? I'm a friend of yours. He goes, I'm talking about my age. He said, I'm still standing. I'm still standing. And he stood to the end. I went to see him in the hospital. And you know what he said? I was sitting at a restaurant. Linda and I were sitting in a restaurant. I was preaching at the blowout. And it was a Saturday morning. And I watched his son, Dave. His son, Dave, is older than I am. I watched him get out of the car. We're sitting in the restaurant, big glass windows. There's 20-some of us sitting in there. I watched Doc get out of the car. And he staggered. He was 94 years old, 93 at the time. And he staggered. And his son was trying to hold him. And he came in and sat across from me. He was dizzy. And he came in and sat across from me, and he went like this. We all thought he died right there. And he went like this. He sat down, and he's looking at us. And I'm sitting like right here. He looks at us, and he goes, I said, Doc, you all right? He went. And I thought he died right there. Ambulance come. They came in, took him out, and we was having the blowout at the time. That was Saturday morning. I thought to myself, man, I was crying. I said, oh, boy, I'm glad I'm preaching this morning. And we went all the way through the service through Sunday night. His son was telling me what was going on with his dad. He come in and sit behind me. He was 60. His son's 65, 66 years old. And he said, and he always said, dad, he always tell me, he talked to me like this. He said, dad is this and dad is that. And because we were close. And I remember I went to the hospital. I said, I'm coming up there Sunday night. He goes, all right. He said, I'll be there. He said, I'll let you in because the hospital won't let you in. So I go in. It's like 10 o'clock, 10:30. I go in. He opens the door. I knock on the door, and he opens the door, and I go in. Mrs. Ruckman says, Brother Ryman, he's sleeping. He's laying on the bed sleeping. And I said, I just come by to pray with him. And she says, well, he's be quiet. So his son Dave was in there, and everybody was in there. And I got in, and I said, and then he woke up, and she said, Brother Ryman's here to pray with you. He said, yeah, man, come on. Come on. I got down on my knees beside him, and I remember saying this to him. I got down. He said, pray, Lord, take me home, brother. Pray, Lord, take me home. I said, no, I ain't praying that. I said, this ain't the first time I prayed for you, over you. He said, I know. He said, pray, Lord, take me home. I said, I ain't praying that. I'm selfish. I don't want you to go. He said, what good am I? He said, I can't see. I can't read. I can't preach. I can't do anything. He said, what good am I? And he looked at me. And I'm holding his hand. I said, you're teaching us how to die right. He stared at me for a minute. He goes, all right, pray. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. When you steadfast and unmovable, you have fellowship with Jesus. You follow Jesus. Second Timothy, look what it says, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 12. For which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded being steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, that's following Jesus Christ. I'm persuaded. Are you? A lot of Christians ain't persuaded. They think the world's got something out there for them. They think the world's got all this glamour, all this lights, cameras, action. It's going to make me happy. It's going to do something for me. It's temporary. They that follow Jesus, they that steadfast, unmovable, they hear his voice. Brother Rick got up Sunday or Wednesday night and preached on hearing his voice. Wednesday night, church. He said, when's the last time you heard his voice? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. When's the last time you heard the Lord's voice? I've heard him say no many times. Don't do that. You know, a child gets to know mama's voice. And before long, the child will know daddy's voice. Mama spends more time with that child. That child's looking at mama's eyes. And then when she starts talking, that baby hears that voice. And when daddy starts talking to that baby, he spends time with that baby knows that voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Those that are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, they hear his voice. What a blessing. When's the last time you heard his voice? They that are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, they have a love for Jesus Christ. They have a love for him. You know what Jesus said over in Revelation to the church of Ephesus? He said, I got something against you. You read it, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 6. He said, I got something against you because you've left your first love. You don't love me like you used to. You don't serve me like you used to. You want all the glory now. You don't want to give it to me. Boy, I tell you what, when the Lord starts speaking to your heart like that, he says, be steadfast, unmovable. You know what I found the problem with people? I found the problem when people don't serve God anymore and they quit as they fell out of love with him. You know what happens to a husband and wife when they don't talk to each other and they don't spend time with each other? They'll fall out of love. And you don't spend time with God, and you don't spend time in his word where he can speak to you and you talk to him, you'll fall out of love. Your love will get cold. And I've had people stand up in church and say, well, I love the Lord. You know, Jesus said, if a man loves me, the same is known to me. If a man loves God. I'll tell you what, if you love God, nobody's going to have to watch you. Nobody has to be around sneaking up and checking to see if you're going to do right. If you love God, you'll do what's right no matter what. You'll just do what's right. Those Christians that are steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, they love him. They love him. Peter loved him. Peter denied him. Jesus, when Jesus showed up in John chapter 21 or 20, he said, Peter, you love me? He said, you know I love you. I'm sure when Peter said that, tears run down his face. I know a lot of people that, you know, saved, they're backslid out. I believe that love is still in there, but it ain't showing.
Yeah.
It ain't showing. And I'll tell you what, the world needs to see the love of God in you. They need to see it. You need to get back to the place. When you're steadfast, unmovable, you're not moving from the place where you once stood. The old saying is, if you're not going forward, you're going backwards and you're backsliding. You ought to be standing in the place. You know, I have preachers, we've all heard it. We've had preachers come by here and said, it's a blessing to see people in their same place, still serving God.
Amen.
Brother Squeaky's in the same place. Brother Ron sitting in the same place. People sitting in their same place. I mean, we all get cold at times. We all get cold towards our love for him. But you got to stir it up. You got to stir it back up in your life. Say, Lord, I want to serve you, Lord. I want to love you more. I want to get back. I want to hear your voice. I just want to walk with you. I'm sorry for what I've done. Forgive me. Steadfast, unmovable. always bound to work for the Lord. You know what? Hearing his love made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because so as he is, so are we in this world. See, he says in 1 John 4:17, hearing is our love made perfect. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. When a person like April is going through what she's going through, she's got love for God. Perfect love casts out fear. She's not worried. She's trusting it. Now she gets, I'm sure she gets anxiety here and there, but her love is still haven't wavered. That's why she's got peace.
Amen.
That's why she's got comfort from God. I'm going to tell you something, man. It's a terrible thing when you have guilt in your life and you're not walking with God. It's a terrible thing for a Christian. When a person loves God, he's about his Father's business. He can honestly get up and say, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What happens? You get distractions. You get things going on in your life. You get mad. And then look, it'd be like Cain. The Lord said, Cain, what's the matter? We get that Cain syndrome. That Cain syndrome. We get hatred. Hatred towards things of God. When you're steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, they have a love. You have a peace. You have a comfort. You hear his voice. When's the last time you heard that? When's the last time you had that peace? In light of the second advent, in light, even if the Lord takes my brother's mama went home, my brother's mama went home, you still have a peace of God. You can trust him. You can trust him with your mama, just like mama can trust you with the son. Trust him. Tell you what, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Lord. For we know that our labor is not in vain. What we're doing here today, serving God, is not vain.
Amen.
This is real. This is more real than anything else in life.
Amen.
This is more real. Fellowship with the Lord. You think God don't know you're here? You think God don't know your thoughts? You think God don't know those things? I don't know how many times I've said, Lord, you know me. I said that. I said, Lord, you know me. You know where I am. Help me, Lord.
Amen.
Help me get that bad stuff out of my life. Help me to keep that bad stuff out of my, keep them bad thoughts out of my mind. Help me to have a love for you that I'm not to be ashamed of you. I said to a guy last night, I gave a guy a track. I said, I always ask people, have you ever seen one of them? And the guy, I guess he was from Nigeria or something. And I said, have you ever seen them? He said, yeah, I've seen them. I said, would you see them? He said, everywhere. I said, that means our people are doing the business, the Father's business. I said, can you tell me how to get saved? I said, are you saved? He said, yes, I am. I said, can you tell me how to get saved? He started rattling off. And I walked over and stood in front of him as he was folding clothes. And I stood in front of him and said, tell me how to get saved. He started telling me right down the line. He was right down the line. And then I said to him, I said, are you living for God? He went, be steadfast. Unmovable. Christians that are unmovable, steadfast, always abound in the work of the Lord, I don't have to worry about them. I know they're going to do what's right. I know they're going to trust God. No matter what comes down the road, they're going to trust him. Are you? Do you hear his voice? Do you love me? Do you love me? That's going to be, you say, I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but I'll tell you this, it makes no difference. It makes no difference, because one day you'll stand before him. I'll stand before him. I have to give account for what I've done as a Christian since I've been saved. So are you. You keep that in your heart and mind. That'll be thinking soberly. watching, living godly for his glory. Are you doing that? If not, I'd say you need to get back. Stand. Having done all the stand, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, having done all the stand, stand, therefore, with your loins girded about the truth, breastplate of righteousness, tells you to stand. No matter what hell comes at you, no matter what problems come at you, trust him. Unmovable. You know, I've seen people, I thought they were strong Christians, and something comes in their life, they go all apart, they blow apart. But I don't get mad at them. What I do is I try to help them put the pieces back together. But it taught me something that I thought when I thought somebody was strong, they really weren't. So I take it for granted that everybody's going to have struggles. Everybody's going to have a problem. Everybody's going to be weak at times. But stand fast. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for your mercy.